The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to another Layla Weighs In podcast. Hi, it's me, Layla Mutin. I'm the nutritionist at the Hoffman Center. I've been working with Dr. Hoffman for the past, it's been over 10 years. I arrived on the scene here at the Hoffman Center in October of 2005. And hey, I'm still here. And it's a privilege to be here. And it's wonderful that both Dr. Hoffman and myself are able to reach out to you via newsletters and podcasts. If you haven't yet signed up to the newsletter, please go to drhoffman.com and sign up for our newsletter. You will get a free newsletter in your email every week. Typically, Thursday or Friday is when they're emailed. And I thank you for all of your questions, all of your comments. You give me lots of fodder to talk about when you email me your questions, as well as any comments of health, medical, nutrition topics that maybe you're distressed about, something that's keeping you up at night, any of that. Now, this is not a forum for making a diagnoses of any kind, whether it's medical, nutritional, or anything like that. That would require a consult. And I'm available for consults. Just call the office, 212-779-1744. Anyway, today I want to talk to you about that recent study, and I know you've heard Dr. Hoffman rant about it too, about the study in the Journal of the American Medical Association titled Association of Specific Dietary Fats with Total and Cause-Specific Mortality, that, again, saturated fats are being implicated for poor health, and the polyunsaturated fatty acids, the acronym is PUFA, polyunsaturated fatty acids, are implicated in good health. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like we've reverted back 10 years yet again. I feel like it's the year 2006. Again, we're having to defend saturated fats and we are left holding the bag and making the distinction, which this study does not make the proper distinction between the fats. Let me explain. First off, the study, claims the study documents important benefits of unsaturated fats, especially when they replace saturated and trans fats. No distinction has been made between the saturated and the trans fats. What they're saying here is what's considered a saturated fat is everything. Is the fat contained in red meat to the fat contained in cheese to baked goods and butter? No, this is not the same, because the saturated fat in your baked goods, in your donut, in your Danish, in your cruller, in your bread is typically going to be a trans fat. It will be a hydrogenated PUFA. It will be a hydrogenated vegetable oil that's meant to be saturated. This is unfortunate. Anyway, so this study, what they did was they examined the diets, the lifestyles, and the medical records of over 126,000 participants from two large long-term studies. We're talking from the year 1988 to the year 2012, about 32 years. And what they did was, every 2 to 4 years, the participants in the study were asked about their health. And during over the period of 32 years, out of the 126,233 participants, 33,304 of them died. And what the researchers did was they looked at each person's diet and how it affected their overall health and lifespan. And the conclusion they drew was that the more saturated fat a person ate, the more likely they were to die from heart disease, cancer, neurodegenerative diseases, or respiratory disease. And for every 5% increase in saturated fat they consumed, they increased their risk of death by 8%. But on the other side of this, the more unsaturated fat a person incorporated into their diet, the more likely they were to live longer. And overall, the researchers found that those who ate the highest amount of unsaturated fats had slashed back their risk of death by 11 to 19%. Okay, now we know that American Heart Association is still warning all of us consumers that saturated fats will raise bad cholesterol, which in turn increases our risk for heart disease and stroke. So they're claiming that this also explains why, and with 30 years worth of data, the authors say, that they found that those who ate more saturated fats also died from heart disease. Now, fats don't have to hurt your heart, and listen to what they say. Unsaturated fats such as monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats give a healthful boost to longevity. Good fats, they claim, come mainly from olive oil, peanut oil, canola oil, avocados, most nuts, and omega-3 fatty acids found in fish. And they assert that by incorporating these fats in your diet, you may be protecting your heart from future disease. Did you just hear the fats that I just said that they lumped into one category? The unsaturated fats, such as the monounsaturated, like olive oil, your omega-9, peanut oil, your omega-6, canola oil, another source of mostly omega-6, some omega-3, avocados that have the spectrum of fats, most nuts that have the spectrum of fats, the omega-3 fatty acids found in fish, these were all lumped together. And there was no distinction made here between the omega-6 and the omega-3 fats, because you and I know that the omega-3 fats are much more important in prevention of cardiovascular disease and to put out the fire of inflammation. Omega-3 fatty acids are powerful anti-inflammatory. And according to this study's senior author, Frank Hugh of Harvard Chan School, professor of nutrition and epidemiology, I'm quoting Dr. Hugh, our study shows the importance of eliminating trans fat and replacing saturated fat with unsaturated fats, including both omega-6 and omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acids. In practice, this can be achieved by replacing animal fats with a variety of liquid vegetable oils. What? Hang on, hang on. The liquid vegetable oils in your grocery store, we're talking about the canola oil, the soybean oil, that includes that soybean oil that's found in your mayonnaise. We're talking about Mazola and Wesson oils, which are primarily corn oil. We're talking about safflower and sunflower oils. All of these oils that have been extracted from their plants using high heat, a metal catalyst, going rancid, you're left with, if you've been listening to my earlier podcast, this is now from maybe last year, of the whole extraction process of our liquid vegetable oils, how they come to be, and how, until they undergo a whole lot more processing, don't smell very good and don't look very good. They're cloudy, they're opaque, they're a kind of gray color. They need to be deodorized, they need to be bleached. These are not fit for human consumption. Most of our corn, where we get our corn oil, is genetically modified. Most of our canola oil, at this point, is genetically modified. We don't know what's happening with these particular plants in terms of their effect on human health. And just because other proponents of GMOs will say, well, there's no scientific evidence that shows us GMOs are bad, it's because it hasn't been done. Does that mean there were no electrons before the discovery of the electron microscope? That's basically what they're saying. Now, coming back to this study, because I'm going off on a tangent here. Besides the fact that in the study, the saturated fats, naturally occurring saturated fats in our meat, in our butter, in our shrimp, all of that, have been lumped together with the trans fats, the hydrogenated fats in the donut, the Danish, the breads, all of those places. What are we actually saying here? Because what the researchers are also saying is, with every 2% higher intake of trans fat, was associated with a 16% higher chance of premature death during the study period. Similarly, higher consumption of saturated fats was also linked with greater mortality risk. But you're not bearing out. You're not separating. It's like when they do the study on red meat, they're always lumping together the nitrite-rich, the sodium nitrite-rich processed meats as well. They're not making a distinction, and in those meat studies, they're also not making a distinction between grass-fed and organic as opposed to the factory-farmed animals, which are fed so much corn and soy, are riddled with omega-6 pro-inflammatory fats, and are not a healthy meat. So we've reverted back 10 years with this study. And they cherry-picked meta-analyses and particular studies. And just because you're coming out of Harvard, you've basically got carte blanche to publish this in any peer-reviewed scientific periodical. And the Journal of the American Medical Association obviously is one. So this is oversimplifying a very, very complex message. And the so-called saturated fat intake people are often lumped together with also the people who smoke. But when we're saying saturated fat in their language, again, the trans fats are lumped in there. It's not just the saturated fat in that burger. It's the trans fat in the bun of that burger. Most people who are eating that way are also having the French fries, which is another source of trans fat. Also lumped under the saturated fat category. People who eat this way may also tend to be smokers, may also tend to exercise less, may exhibit other risky behaviors like use drugs or have unprotected sex. These people may drink to excess, drink alcohol to excess. So all of these people are lumped together, which is probably the biggest confounder of all. And by the way, another tidbit in the study that you're not really hearing about, that the omega-6 fats, like canola oil, may be associated with cancer mortality. Okay? So what they're really not telling you is that those who are getting particular omega-6s from the grains, things like that, too much from certain nuts, certain whole grains. But the omega-6 that they're getting their source of omega-6 is really the vegetable oils more than anything. And we know from the 1920s, scientist Otto Warburg, that it's this ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 in our diet, which may be the distinguishing factor of who gets cancer and who does not. So it's very, very important. So really, this study has told us nothing, and it brought us back 10 or 15 years ago, where they've lumped all the saturated fats and the trans fats together. So we really don't know what exactly is causing the problem, but we're really finding it's the factory-made trans fats that are causing a problem. And I also want to make a distinction that there are two types of trans fats. The man-made factory trans fats, where you're taking a vegetable fat, like a soybean oil or a corn oil, and you're hydrogenating it so that it has more of a shelf life and is used in a lot of bakery products, our breads, our muffins, our cookies, all of that. Shortening, remember Crisco, that trans fat. But there are also naturally occurring trans fats. No distinction is made here either. These ruminant trans fats, which are actually very, very beneficial. These trans fats are the precursors, transvacenic acid, conjugated linoleic acid. These are the cancer preventers. These are naturally occurring trans fats found in red meat, found in butter, even found in some cheese. These naturally occurring trans fats are very, very beneficial. But again, no distinction is made amongst any of these fats. And further dilemma is when you're talking about a food containing a saturated fat, the food that has the most saturated fat on the planet is probably coconut oil. It's about 96% saturated fat. But did you know that other fats like beef tallow, like lard, are only approximately 48 to 49% saturated fat? The rest of that is unsaturated in the form of some monounsaturated fat, along with some omega-6 polyunsaturated fat. So to classify these things the way they do doesn't really make any sense at all, and it's not making any clear distinction on what types of fats are impacting human health and which are not. So I throw this study out. It is really not reliable. It is not valid. And most of all, if you've already read my article about the pasta study, eating more pasta can shrink your waistline, well, I tore that one up, and especially when it comes to the methodology of some of these studies and using food frequency questionnaires, the same kind of methodology was used in this dietary fat study. They basically called the people and said, here, fill out this food frequency questionnaire and tell us how much of what you ate. Well, there's recall bias, if you've read my article, and who remembers how much they ate in a particular day, month, or over the course of a year. So there's a lot of bias. There's recall. You know, this is a confounder. You can't recall exactly what you did. And if you're eating, if you can't get a real handle on the ingredients that you're taking in, you can't really tell at all. If you're a big restaurant eater, like so many people, or reliant on a lot of convenience foods, you're getting a whole slew of different types of fats that you're not even aware of, and therefore recording incorrectly on your food frequency questionnaire. Ugh, these are our tax dollars at work, everybody. And I wish the people providing grants, National Institutes of Health, the scientific bodies that are giving money to these researchers to perform these studies should really vet their methodology above all else before granting them the money. Otherwise, what they're studying is not valuable at all. In fact, it's a complete waste of time, if you ask me. So, I thank you for joining me in another podcast, my podcast, Layla Weighs In, here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.